The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I welcome you to this first service this morning. I'll be speaking briefly this morning on a message titled Victory Despite Challenges. Victory Despite Challenges, Part 1. I have about 18 pages here, and I will try to see what I can do. That's for the two services, 9 pages for first service, 9 pages second service. And I'll try to see as fast as we can within the next 35 to 40 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Life is filled with challenges. Life is a place whereby there is no challenge-free zone in life. As long as a person is alive, he will always face challenges. As long as a human being is on this surface of the earth, he must witness challenges. Quickly this morning, beloved, important facts about challenges. Important facts about challenges. Number one is that challenges are everywhere in the world. From Nigeria to China to the United Kingdom to the United States of America. Everywhere in this world, there are challenges there. The challenges might be different. The challenges might be multifaceted. The challenges might be diverse, but there is no place where there is no challenges. It's not peculiar to Nigeria. It's not peculiar to Kwara State. It's not peculiar to Lagos State. It's not peculiar to wherever you are watching me from this morning. The only challenge-free zone is in the grave. And you will not die young in Jesus' name. Number two important facts about challenges is that challenges is in phases and in sizes. Challenges are in phases and they are in sizes. In Isaiah 43 verse 2, the Bible says, when thou passest through, when I read this scripture, I've been reading this scripture for a long time, but God gave me a different meaning recently. He said, when you pass through the water, that's the first stage, I will be with you. Then he goes again and says, when you pass through the river, somebody say river, it will not overflow thee. Then he says, when you pass through fire, it will not burn you. Then he goes further. He said, neither shall the flame of the fire kindle you. Challenges are in phases. They are in sizes. The one thing we are sure of is no matter what we are passing through, we will always overcome. Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them from them all. Number three important facts about challenges, beloved, is that you cannot do without challenges as long as you are breathing. You cannot live in this world successfully and prosper in this world successfully without a form of challenge. In fact, can I tell you this? If you don't have any challenges, I pity you. It means you are not making any progress. It means you are not stretching yourself. If you don't have any challenges, if nobody is trying to pull you down or nothing is trying to resist your progress, then something is wrong. When people come to me for prayers or counseling, either in our church here or any other place, and they tell me their challenges, and I smile. Some of them are surprised. They are amazed. This kind of big problem, and you are just smiling. You did not even say, what kind of thing? Because I know I will force my smiling is to congratulate you in advance, because I know that that challenge came because the devil knows that you have a glorious future. Hello. That's the way it is. Number four, important facts about challenges is that challenges are destiny molders. Challenges mold your destiny. Challenges bring your destiny to shape the way they are meant to be. That delay is to mold your destiny. That challenge with your job is to mold your destiny. That problem in marriage is to shape your life. Challenges never leave you the same. You can't pass through a challenge and come out of it and it leaves you the same. It would have more, the wisdom you have accumulated from that challenge would have made your life a better person. Would have made you a better person. Number five, important facts about challenges is that challenges are the gateway to the throne. Everybody has a throne, either in ministry, in business, in career, in the home where you are supposed to be married, in nations. Challenges is the gateway. That is the way you use to get to the throne. No challenges, no enthronement. When you see somebody who says, I have no problem, I have no challenge, there's no issue, immediately I know the person is not meant for the throne. But when you have one challenge or the other, you have one thing you are trusting God for or the other, then I know that there's something ahead. There's a future ahead. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, you will get to that future. I say you will get to that future. It might look so tough right now. It might look so rough right now, but you will soon get there. Somebody say a big amen. Let me just give you two more important facts about challenges before we go further into the body of the message. This is just the introduction. Your best comes out of your challenges. Your best, someone say your best, comes out of your challenges. Just like when you squeeze orange. How many of us know orange? If you know orange, can I see your beautiful hands wave to me? Just like when you squeeze orange and something wonderful comes out of the orange. That is the same way the destiny of a man is. Until there are challenges, that is the squeeze of life, it wrinkles you sometimes. It mesmerizes you sometimes. You don't even understand how to solve the problem. You look at it, you don't know what to do. You look at it, you look at the front, you don't know where to go. You look at the back, you don't know where to go back to. Until you squeeze the orange, the juice never comes out. That is the way life is. Sometimes, and a lot of times, until life squeezes you sometimes, the best of you can never come out. I'm on number what now? Number seven, and I'll stop there under the introduction. Challenges are the exams of life that leads to the promotions of life. Challenges are the exams of life. I was speaking in our church in Lagos this Wednesday in particular. And somebody came to me after the service and was telling me about some of the challenges. And I smiled because I knew in my heart that this means this person will be elevated. This means this person will change level. This means this person is about to be promoted. Challenges are the gateway to your promotion. Have you seen anybody that is promoted in any organization without him or her face? You just enter a place. The day you enter, maybe you enter on Monday, by Tuesday they say, we have now made you the MD of this company. Or we have now made you the executive director of this company. No. They will place you in a place. They will put problems before you. They say, we have a problem here. We are going to solve it. And then as you solve the problems, as you face the challenges, as you face the problems, then you emerge promoted. You emerge lifted. Somebody is here. November will not end before you'll be promoted. Between now and 30th of November, God is going to promote you. Say a bigger amen. Say a bigger, bigger, bigger amen. Say a bigger, bigger, bigger amen. Say a bigger, bigger, bigger amen. However, for these challenges to bow, there's something very crucial called the presence of the Lord. That is the gateway to the bowing of challenges. No devil sees God and just does the same thing. He must bow. That is how the mountains of your life shall be leveled out today in the name of Jesus. As you move with the presence of God everywhere you go, the presence of God will level out every challenge of your life. Say a louder amen. Beloved, I'll be showing you this morning examples of people that made it through challenges through the presence of God. Examples of people that were able to succeed, that were able to prosper in life through challenges via the presence of God. Number one is a man called Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's covenant son. He faced so much challenges in his life. Number one, Isaac had his first child at the age of 60. Somebody that is a covenant child of Father Abraham. Genesis 25 verse 26. Genesis 25, 26. In the last part, Bible says that Isaac had his child at 70 years old. 70 years old. Genesis 25, 26. He had his first child at 70 years old. That's 60 years old. Genesis 25, 26. So, he faced challenges. He waited for long. But eventually, God answered him. Somebody is here, your days of waiting is over. I say your days of waiting is over. Also, Isaac faced challenges of famine. Genesis 26 verse 1. There was a famine in his days that was different from the one during the time of Abraham. His own challenges was different from the challenges of his father. That's why the problems or challenges your father has faced, that is for his own life. Everybody is the architect of his own destiny. You will have your own challenges. Just like the success of your father is not your own success, the challenges of your father will be different from your own. He faced the challenges of famine. Number three, Roman figure three, is that he had enemies in business. I know this is an impartation service. I believe you have brought points of contact to your businesses. He had enemies in business. In Genesis 26, Genesis 26 verse 15 to 21, Genesis 26, 15 to 21, he was digging wells to be able to ensure that his business was prosperous. They were covering it up. The Bible says, for all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped them and filled them up as they were digging wells. The Philistines were filling them up. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched. He left that place and went to another place again. He pitched his tent in the valley of Gera and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again. Somebody say again. He left them with their problem, went to another place and digged again the wells of water which he needed for his business, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen, that's like the Boko Haram of our days. Hello. And the herdsmen of Gera did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. He digged the water. He sourced the water. He dug the well. There was no well there. He dug the well. They came there. They possess it. The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. They were always striving with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. Can you see challenges? He goes here to prosper in his city. They say, no, you can't stay here. He goes to another place again. He said, no, you can't stay here. He goes to another place again. He said, no, you can't stay here. What is the problem? Do you want to force me out of life? But eventually, God got him to his Rehoboth. There is somebody here this morning. You will end well. I say you will end well. All these things that are making you look as if the whole problem of this world is on your head, the challenges will soon pass away. Somebody say amen. I say the challenges will soon pass away. How did Isaac finish well? How was he able to conquer? In Genesis 26, verse 2 and 3, the Lord was with him, giving him directive on what to do. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go down into Egypt. Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. Countries, not local government, not streets. I will give all these countries to you. From where you are, I will give you the countries. I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. Somebody say amen. Despite all the problems, despite all the challenges, God said, don't worry, relax. Don't let this thing overwhelm you. I will ensure that I prosper you where you are. I will ensure that you are progressive, productive, prosperous. I will not allow evil to befall you. Someone say a big amen. Well, that same God that did it for Isaac is still here, and he will do it for somebody. If that person is you, say a bigger amen. If that person is you, say a bigger amen. The second person I'll be talking about this morning, beloved, that faced challenges and eventually conquered through the presence of God is a man called Jacob. Jacob was a son of Isaac. His father had challenges. We would have expected that the son will have no challenges. Despite all that the father went through, the son had his own fair share. What you are going through now is your fair share of the challenges of life. It's to toughen you. It's to make you strong as a lady. It's to make you strong as a man. It's not to sink you. It's not to destabilize you. It's not to slaughter you. It's not to injure you. The Bible says, Jacob had diverse challenges. Number one, he had internal enemy. Genesis 27 verse 41, his brother Esau hated him. Twin brother hated him with passion. And Esau hated Jacob. They didn't say he disliked him. He hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. He had a personal hatred for his twin brother. I know in my place, they say, if the death of inside cannot kill, the death outside cannot kill. You know what I'm talking about. If you have a twin brother and he hates you, that's a big challenge. He hated him with passion. In fact, there was a point in his life, he was on the way to kill him. He wanted to go and kill Jacob totally until God appeared to him. Number two, example of what Jacob went through. The first one is internal enemy. Number two is that he had to run for his life to stay away from his uncle Laban. He had to run for his life. He served 7 years for somebody. Served another 7 years for somebody. You know the story very well. Eventually, the father, Laban, still wanted to kill him. Despite the fact that he cheated him and did not give him anything because of Rachel and Leah. He was at the point of death until God appeared to Laban in the dream and said, don't touch that guy. If you touch him, I touch you. You know the story very well, how Jacob ran away and Laban pursued him. I know you were all Bible scholars and we know what I'm talking about. He was deceived. He loved the lady, wanted to marry the lady, and said, I will serve you 7 years for this lady. after the seventh year, oh yeah, give me my wife. They gave him something else. That's what we call in Nigeria 419. You know what I mean, 419? Then he said, okay, I will serve again. They still wanted to cheat him again. I don't know what you have gone through that is like this one. 14 years of his life used without anything to show. The only thing he could show was plenty children. Plenty children. Plenty children. Children from Rachel. Children from Leah. Children from their servants. Just children everywhere. No asset. Nothing. Nothing. But eventually, God showed up for him. Somebody is here today. God will show up for you. I say, God will show up for you. I say, God will show up for you. Say a big amen. He served Laban. Served and served and served and served. When it was time for him to get reward, Laban did not allow it. Part of all the things that is supposed to be his reward, gave it to his own sons. But eventually God settled him. Somebody is here today, God will settle you. I say, God will settle you. Somebody say a big amen. Don't pursue the reward from men. I always tell you people, you can't pay me for the work I do. You can't pay me for the work I do. I might not be here physically sometimes, but I'm here spiritually, and it's like I'm here. Yeah. Because the work goes on. It goes on in the car. It goes on in the house. It goes on in the office. It goes on in the plane. Everywhere. So how can you pay for such? But there is somebody who pays all those who serve him diligently. That would say he is the rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. He is the rewarder. He is the rewarder. He is the rewarder. He will reward you. I say he will reward you. I say he will reward you. Somebody say a big amen. Well, one more example, then I'll begin to round up. The children of Israel also faced a lot of challenges. They faced plenty challenges. Plenty. 400 years without labor. Without favor. Served and served and served. Mold bricks. With little food in the stomach. Yet, and eventually, they are able to get what belongs. They are unable to get what belongs to them. But suddenly, God appears in their favor. And then, he is able to bless them. Somebody is here today. God is going to bless you. Your years of labor will be replaced with years of favor. What are the benefits of God's presence? I need to rush now because I just noticed I'm running short of time. Benefits of God's presence, number one, is rest. When you have God's presence in challenges, you have rest. Somebody say rest. Exodus 33 verse 14. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Exodus 33 verse 14. The presence of God in your challenges gives you rest. No matter what is going on, no matter how difficult things are, when challenges come and you know God is with you, you have rest. Romans 8 verse 31. Romans 8 verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? When you are on the battle of life, when the battle of life comes to face you, then you know there's somebody with me who cannot allow me to be destroyed. How many of you know that you can never be destroyed? How many of you know that your career can never be destroyed? How many of you know that you will never use your hand to bury your children? Yeah. Yeah. Why do you have this hope? You have this hope because you know and you know and you know he will never forsake you. God can never forsake you. Anybody can forsake you. And I tell you that with utmost humility. Anybody can forsake you. But there's somebody that's sticking closer than a friend, than a brother, than a sister, and that is this God. And his presence gives you rest. He gives you rest. As from today, you will have rest. As from today, you will have rest. Your mind will have peace of mind. Somebody say amen. I say you will have peace of mind. That prayer is for somebody here this morning. God will give you peace of mind. Over that matter, you will have peace of mind. Over that situation, you will have peace of mind. Whatever is giving you apprehension, whatever is raising your blood pressure, whatever is giving you apprehension, uncertainties, as from today, over that matter, you will have rest. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me now that there's somebody here, your major issue of unrest is the future. You are so uncertain of the future. You don't know how the future will look like. That is 2021 upward. I speak to you this morning prophetically as a servant of God. That future will be all right. I said that future will be all right. In the name of Jesus. Benefit of God's presence, number two, is achievement of your goals. When you have God's presence, you achieve your goals. You achieve your goals. You achieve your goals. That's your goal. That's your aspiration. That's your longing to build a big business, to thrive in your career, to be progressive, productive, to go forward. That's your goal. You will achieve it because you carry God's presence. As you leave the service today, you'll be living with God's presence afresh. When you appear to your place of business tomorrow, they will see you as a new person. When you appear to your organization this week, they will see you as a new person. You will carry God's presence. I say you will carry God's presence. Say a bigger amen. As I round up this morning, how do you overcome these challenges? How do you overcome the challenges and secure victory? Number one, how to overcome challenges and secure victory? Maintain God's presence. Maintain the presence. Maintain it. Fan that presence through praise, through worship, through joy. Don't allow the joy of the Lord to depart from you. Maintain the presence of God. Maintain it. Don't allow that presence of God to be lost. Don't allow the presence of God on your life to be lost. No. It will not be lost. I say it will not be lost. I say it will not be lost. Exodus 3 verse 15. It says, if thy presence go not with us. He said, carry, we will not go anywhere. Except your presence goes with us, we are not going anywhere. You and I will not lose God's presence. I say we will not lose God's presence. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. How to maintain God's presence? Number two, engage in violent faith. Engage in violent faith. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Engage in violent faith. Someone say violent faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith thou shalt be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Engage in violent faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Build your faith, brothers and sisters. Settle down to read the Bible, to know what this Bible is saying about you. Build your faith. Fan your faith. Don't allow your faith to die in the face of challenges. The extent of your victory is the extent of your faith. You can't be victorious beyond your faith because challenges will come as you are progressing, new challenges. As you are progressing, new challenges. You want to go to school, that's one challenge. You enter school, that's one challenge to have a good grade and come out with good grades. After you finish to be posted to a good place and to go there and come back safely for that 1 year is another challenge. After you face that, to get a job or to do a business, another challenge. After that, maybe you want to get married and settle down and all that. That's another challenge. That's how the thing is. That's why you must build your faith. That's why you must build your faith. Because one challenge, the graduation of one challenge is the matriculation of another one. The end of one challenge is the beginning of another one. Let me tell you something. When you don't have money, that's one challenge. When you have money, it's another challenge. Though one challenge is better than another. Which one do you prefer? The one that has money. Hallelujah. When you don't have money, it's a problem. Praise God. When you don't, it's a big problem. When you have money, it's another challenge again. So, you don't ever think that you get to a point. Do you know that when you are very young and you are not yet married, you have a challenge? When you get children, you have a challenge. By the time those your children get married and they have grandchildren, you start facing another challenge again. Because you have to take care of those grandchildren. And like this, our church, people are just having twins. Maybe you're a grandmother, you're taking care of twins. Maybe triplets. Next 2-3 weeks, I'll be releasing some very dangerous things. If you don't want it, just take cover. I'm telling you sincerely. If you don't want it, just take cover. But if you don't take cover, I can't guarantee anything. I'm telling you. Take cover means, as in, you just relax. But you... Anyway, it's not today. Let's go on first. Praise the Lord. Number three, how to overcome challenge. I said number one is maintain divine presence. Number two, engage in violent faith. Number three, stay with God. Stay with God. Don't sell off your birthright. Don't allow anybody to talk you into going to another God. Listen to me, beloved. What God cannot do, nobody can do it. Stay with God. There is no challenge facing you that this father cannot solve. If you have a challenge and he cannot solve, please, after service, please, let's talk. Let me understand it. Then that challenge must be that you are the first to have that challenge in this world. Is there a challenge you are facing now that you are the first person? Maybe your husband is not doing well. He's not treating you well. Are you the first person? You are not the first. It has happened before and God has changed them. Is it that you are looking for a child? It has happened before and God has done it. Is it that Asu strike you and you are at home since March? Even me, Asu strike me during my time. No, be today. I entered university as a direct entry student. I was supposed to be there for 3 years. I entered from second year because I had gone to the polytechnic before. I spent 6 years without... I did not fail any course. Not one course failed because of this same ASU strike. So it's only strange to you because you learning just entered ASU. I spent 6 years for a 3-year course. I was telling them when I was speaking to some youths some days ago, I said, but I'm grateful to God today. All those years have been recovered. There is no year out of all those years lost that I can say, I regret it too. I regret it. Even some of the people I met during those ASU strike then, they are an eternal blessing to me today. So stay with God. Don't ever think that God is working something out for your good. The Bible says, Romans 8 verse 28, for we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8 verse 28. It's a new day for somebody here today. Let me just give you one, then I'll close. I'm talking about how to overcome challenges. I said number one is engage with maintain divine presence. Number two, engage in violent faith. Number three is what? And number four, keep praying in the spirit till you have clear direction. Keep praying in the spirit. Keep praying in the spirit. Jude verse 20. Keep praying in the spirit. Keep praying in the spirit. But ye beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray Walking in the Holy Ghost is one major tool to overcome challenges. Because when you are praying in the Holy Ghost, you are speaking in a language nobody understands. Only you and God has. Devil doesn't know. That's why when you are praying in the Holy Ghost, the devil doesn't know what you are. Confused his kingdom. They don't know where you are going. They don't know where you are coming from. They don't know your path. They don't know your next move. They don't know what you are telling God. It's in your heart. And what is in your heart, you are using a language that is unknown to communicate. I've been privileged to travel to some countries. I don't know their language. So when I get there, I get interpreter to please interpret for me. I don't know what they are saying. If I get to China now, for example, and say, then I will get somebody to say, oh yeah, what did you say? And the person will now say, he's saying that your ticket is valid. Go to that place and stamp it and go to where you are going. Then the other person will ask him, then he will tell me, what he's saying is that after you do that, you proceed and proceed to wherever you want to go. And I'll say, thank you very much. That's the same thing. When you are speaking the Holy Ghost, devil doesn't understand. He needs somebody to interpret what you are saying. And there will be nobody to interpret it. Because God will never reveal his secrets about your life to the devil. God will never tell the devil his next plan about your destiny. Somebody is here this morning. God will be shifting you to your next level. I say God will be shifting you to your next level. As many that cannot pray in the spirit this morning, there will be a baptism of that spirit upon your life. I said there will be a baptism of that spirit upon your life. Your tongue shall be loosed and you'll be able to pray in the Holy Ghost. Lika takara bakato brakasia tagash. Lekute pikati kerika susu ilate digasia takara. Tekete udari brakeso brakatash. God is going to loose that tongue. And you will speak clearly this morning in the name of Jesus. All through this week, spend quality time praying in the Spirit. All through this week, spend quality time praying in the Holy Ghost. If your leg is tired and your leg is weak, go on the floor. Pray to the extent where there's water on the place where you are. Water comes out of your body and you wet the ground where you are. You see water on the floor. Sweat. You are sweating today. You will taste sweet tomorrow. I say you sweat in the place of prayer today. You will taste sweet tomorrow. You are sweating in the place of praying in the Holy Ghost today. You will taste sweet tomorrow. So shall it be. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Anybody blessed this morning? If you are blessed, shout a big hallelujah. Give Jesus a big clap. He's worthy of our praise.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.